Hello and welcome to the True Sports Show on True Chat, broadcasting from Studio 1A in Urbana, Ohio. My name's Cam Pierce.
And I'm Lance Jackson.
And there it is, ladies and germs. It's a weekly thing now. Lance went ahead and made our first weekly segment, which is Otto Porter Watch. Watch. I'm just kidding.
He's my new boy. He's my new homeboy.
He is.
Otto Porter signed for, 4 years at $100 million.
There you go.
I mean, $25 million a year for Otto Porter.
Otto Porter.
I'm going to work on my J.
Try and take his roster spot.
I'm at least going to carry his bags. I'll be in the posse with Otto.
There you go.
He can afford a much bigger posse than $25 million.
Other than
Otto. Look him up, folks. He actually does play.
He does.
Yeah,
he does
played play. In college. You know, be the first to call in. With what college did Otto Porter play?
First to call in. Is that the
we got a Pez candy dispenser for you?
Yeah, there you go. With Otto Porter's face.
With Otto Porter's face.
You can either pick the one with Darth Vader on it or Otto Porter.
That's $25 million, he'll probably get a bobblehead this year.
Yeah, probably. I tell you, some of that money probably coming out of his contract. He didn't look at that.
Yeah.
When he tried to sign that with the Nets, so they'll get caught with that one about halfway through the season. Like, oh, we have to make a bobblehead for this guy. Other than that, not a lot of NBA news besides for a bunch of hearsay and poppycock, if you will, about Carmelo going to the Houston Rockets. The more I think about that, though, I tell you what, I don't think Carmelo Anthony is a good addition for any team that's not. And I don't even think they're a good addition for the Cavaliers because he's such a ball stopper. But
at this stage in his career, who's he going to make better?
He's not making anybody
He's
better.
He's not going to make anybody better.
No, that's not the type of game that Carmelo is playing,
I mean,
especially if he wanted
to move 3 to 5 years ago, he still had some life in his legs. And
which he
and
could
that
have
kind
to
of
the
stuff.
Bulls,
right.
And they probably would have won some championships with that little group there. if, obviously, Derrick Rose could have stayed with two legs intact. But obviously, we saw how that went. But today we're actually going to jump around to a lot of different sports.
Jump around.
There you go. All right, that's not the song I thought you were going. Oh. I thought you were going crisscross on me.
Oh,
crisscross.
Yeah.
I'll make you jump. We got some tennis. Wimbledon
tennis?
Just got a lot less exciting, I tell you what. Yep. Big upset here against Andy Murray with Sam, and I'm going to butcher his name. I've heard it pronounced three different ways
on the
radio here. Query, I think is how you pronounce it. American gentleman there, 6'6", 210. First American to make the semifinal in some time, I believe, since 79. So
no.
There you go. You sure about that?
Can't be 79.
Okay. I'm gonna check that.
You better check on that.
All right.
Pete Sampras won in the 90s.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Gotta be.
Something else was 79 then that he did. I don't know.
McEnroe and all those guys.
I could, honestly, I could just be, since 2009, I'm just a big liar.
That's why
I'm just a big liar.
See,
thank you for checking
Trump's going to be on you.
Yeah.
That's going to be fake news.
Fake news. Me.
Yeah.
we've had
some
CNN.
Good American tennis players. Just haven't had any good ones in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, 2009.
But now that Andy and
3-5 setters.
Oh, yeah?
Sam won 3-5 setters in a row. I think that may be the first since he was either the first to do that or the first since 79 to win back-to-back-to-back 5-set matches in one Wimbledon.
Yeah, and he...
that might be your 79 reference.
And definitely with the comeback as well against Andy Murray. I mean, he was down 2-1 and won the last two sets 6-1, 6-1 very commandingly against Andy Murray. So... Do you think this will be viewed as a bigger win for Sam Curry, or is it now that we've gotten Novak and Andy Murray out? Novak obviously with an injury, and now Andy Murray out with the upset. Has Wimbledon kind of fallen apart here? It seemed like we were really edging toward a matchup with those two. It seemed like both of them were playing very, very well. And now it seems to have kind of all fallen apart. So do you think this sort of sucks some of that energy out of Wimbledon here?
I think and it might build it up for the Americans a little bit. I don't think American tennis has been that good lately. And as a former competitive tennis player, I haven't watched as much since the Americans aren't in it. So You still got Nadal, right? Trying to win on grass.
Still got Nadal. Got Federer. Absolutely. Yeah, you know,
Federer's the man.
Yeah.
I mean, I love watching Federer play. Mm-hmm. So gives him a chance maybe to you know, with his older legs to not have as tough a matchup and get through to the finals and get one. You know, I think it does take something out of it though when Andy Murray gets out and being the home country boy playing mm-hmm. and that kind
number
of stuff.
Number one player in tennis.
Yeah. So. But I think, you know, if you're a tennis fan or you like the big stage, Wimbledon's still it, you know, Wimbledon, US Open. They're the two big ones for most American tennis fans. Mm-hmm. Australia is in the dead of winter for us. So it's hard for us to get excited in the 14 hour time difference. And most of us don't play on slow red clay. So we don't understand the game and how it's played on that surface. So unless you're a diehard tennis fan, most Americans, it's Wimbledon and the US Open. So I think maybe with an American in there, you might see more people, at least in the United States, watch the finals.
Gotcha.
It's interesting when it gets open like this, but it's also a little bit like golf. If you don't have your big names, are people going to tune in and watch?
And that's where I think you see a lot of similarities between tennis and golf. I mean, they're both very much gentlemen's games, or at least they are looked at like that. They're prim and proper and upper class games, even if that's not where some of the best hail from when it comes to the professionals. By the way, Roger Federer has not lost a set in Wimbledon yet, man. I tell you.
He's tough until he gets overpowered or he plays somebody with younger legs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who can hit the ball? I mean, you almost have to overpower him because his game is so smooth, even at an older age. And, you know, I make it sound like he's ancient, but for tennis, he's ancient.
Yeah, 35.
But he can... He's as smooth as anybody in the game when he's on.
Mm-hmm. And he's obviously, I would say, probably your favorite moving forward here at the three seed there in Wimbledon. So unless you want to go with Sammy Boy,
I like Nadal maybe to break his streak and do something on grass.
Hmm.
But
there's still storylines.
I feel
here.
There's a lot of stuff open. I mean, can Nadal come through on grass, which has been, you know, hard for him to do? You've got Achilles, Federer, yeah. And you've got the American
mm-hmm.
that's in it for the first time. You said first time in 8 years that we have an American in the Final Four on the men's side.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't know if Rafa is still in the tournament here. I think that.
Uh-oh. Am I fake news in
you,
it too?
You are fake news in it. He lost to Mueller. In the round of 16.
Bueller.
So yes, it's just Federer and the American as your two big names here. And as I call him the American, I guess I'll
Sam Querrey
resend that big name thing I just said there. But he beat a big name, so he has thrust himself
into
that spot.
He's been
he's top 25.
He's No, he hasn't been an up-and-comer in 4 or 5 years. He's actually been a disappointment. I mean, he's had the game the last 4 to 5 years, so this is one of his big, big breakthroughs mm-hmm. in a major. Yeah.
And it's good to see. Good to see for an American. So there you go. That's your update
and
on
the women's
tennis,
side, you don't have Serena playing
still,
pregnant.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that'd be a story. That'd be fun to watch.
That would be a story.
Watch
her win
the tournament while she's pregnant.
You did hear that she won a tournament while pregnant. She just didn't mm-hmm. know that she mm-hmm. was pregnant. So
I actually probably could have won Wimbledon this year. She's 6 months pregnant or something. Yeah. Probably still could have won.
Still could have.
She's
still
dynamite.
That done.
She's dynamite.
Yeah, definitely.
Flat out play. She's fun to watch.
Definitely one of the most dominant athletes of this decade, possibly even this century for sure. I just have to wait and see on that though. Still got some time on that whole century business. So let's go ahead and move on to our
Five
next
minutes
topic.
Minutes on tennis. I'm
but
impressed.
Before,
buddy.
Well, thanks.
As a former college tennis player, I appreciate that.
I try to branch out. You know, this is my Wednesday experimental show. That's what I've started to call it. Is is how much time can we get out of things that nobody else talks about?
You start talking WNBA and I'll be impressed.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that. We will see about the audience share on the WNBA.
Oh, okay. You never know.
Yeah. Y'all, no, you never know. I bet that starts coming up here in the next 5 to 10 years or so, I'd say.
It's tough playing in the summer.
Yeah.
Inside. I mean, it's tough to get people to go inside to watch something in the summer.
Yeah.
But I've been to two WNBA games. It's a very, very good brand of basketball.
I think I've been to one. It's a different game. You're not looking out there for the high flyers of the NBA, but it's a more technical game is the way I would call it.
It's played below the rim, but it's good old fashioned hard picks, boxing out, you know, good shooters, good defense.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. I thought I'd be able to avoid the get off my lawn Lance for one show, but I couldn't. I was expecting it to come out in our next topic, which is All-Star Weekend. But
All-Star Weekend, yeah. That was some game.
I think obviously the biggest headline is Aaron Judge winning himself a derby here. So
yeah, because that's what matters. It's home run derby.
Yeah,
not World Series champions. Let's get right to the millennial stuff and who throws the ball 120 miles an hour.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Who can hit home run derby? Let's just play home run derby.
Well, I think it's
let's play four rounds of home run derby.
Sure.
Instead of
then
game.
Let's go home.
Instead of nine innings.
Let's just go AL, right. NL, home run derby.
You put your four sluggers up against the other team's four sluggers. We play home run derby. We take a break in between every round and let everybody go to the concession stand.
Well, have you seen
come
that?
Back and they did it in the '50s. They had a weekly show.
Yeah.
In the '50s called Home Run Derby.
I did not know that.
It came on before the game of the week. Yeah.
Well, I'll be dipped. So, well, that was one of the solutions.
Mickey Mantle,
to make,
Duke Snyder, all those guys would go head-to-head.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool, actually. That was one of their solutions for extra innings. Have you heard that? People have been throwing that around. Just get your three best hitters and let's home run derby off for it.
I heard one on the reporters on ESPN, because I don't want to steal something, but they said, and it happened last night, a tie after nine innings of the All-Star game, top of the 10th, bases loaded, nobody out. See how many runs you can score. And then the bottom of the 10th, the National League gets bases loaded, nobody out. How many can you? I was looking for it last night, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for, regular season games, too, where they, you put a guy on second or put a guy in scoring position once you get to extra innings. That got a shake of the head no from Lance there. So here it comes.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Don't give anybody freebies.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There you go.
You millennials were all done watching the game anyway.
according to everyone in the media.
Only us old guys were still watching. So,
so leave us be.
Leave us be. Let us have our game. We don't want to put the game into your hands because you're not even watching.
There you go.
By the time it goes extra innings.
just let us watch it till we die. Then you can do whatever you want. Then it's fine. There should be an age cutoff, right?
Yeah, I went to two games this weekend, 47,000 and 45,000.
Yeah. You're obviously going to get the
Cardinals and the Mets, two losing teams.
You're right, but it's the Cards. I mean, they sell out weekend games. That's what they do. St. Louis loves them some baseball.
Okay.
Well, they do.
True.
Yeah. I doubt the weekend games with all the concerts and stuff that were going on in Cincinnati were even close to 50K.
Yeah.
So, and that's almost one game.
Especially since their stadium only holds like 35.
In St. Louis. Well, hey, I meant all the weekend games.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
I don't even know if they played in Cincinnati this weekend. I thought they did.
I think they were in Arizona.
Well, you know.
Before
what do
the
I know?
All-Star break.
What do I know? Nothing is the answer. Really, Arizona? Maybe it's this Friday that's fireworks
I think it
was night.
Colorado and Arizona. Yeah, Fridays everybody opens back up this Friday after.
Gotcha. The All-Star so game. That's probably we'll go this weekend. We'll see because it's even fireworks night, so they better get some people out. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, better be packing that stadium for a fireworks night. But so All-Star game was not very exciting. I won't lie, I definitely didn't watch all of it. But hey, you saw Yachty take a picture.
Yeah.
For the Seattle guy, so that's
and hit
exciting.
A home run.
Hey, yep, there you go.
And get to third base with the winning run, and nobody could knock him in because they're swinging for the fences.
Yep.
All they got to do is make contact and drive him in.
So how many times does that happen before Lance Jackson's yelling at the screen?
What's that?
That people are swinging for the fences
when they got
a guy on third.
First time.
God.
First swing hard, but there's a runner on third, runner in scoring position, and the first swings to go for the fence, yeah, I'm yelling.
Yeah. It's not
I'm
a fun
yelling
time.
At TV.
It's more like, more upset when the Cards do it probably than when the All-Star people do it.
But you know, I'm a National League guy through and through. We hadn't actually had a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
We still found a way to lose it.
Yep. Yep. But hey, at least it's, you know.
Robinson Cano, former home run derby winner there. There you go. Mm-hmm. Get back on track for your
millennial.
Your big millennial home run. Aaron Judge, I mean, he's worth $400 million a year now because, I mean, he's home run derby champ. I mean, that's almost as, you know, Babe Ruthian.
Yeah. Be the first billion-dollar contract.
Just because it was set up, you know. Did you see how they tried to get Stanton
guy.
Through?
No, I didn't.
They kept letting Stanton's pitcher throw before the ball hit the ground.
Oh, really?
So it was rigged because they didn't want Sanchez to be there.
Yeah.
So they wanted Stanton, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Made for TV event.
Man, I tell you, that's some hardcore accusations right
it
there.
It is.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hard-hitting
watch
reporting
it. The rules say you can't throw a pitch until the ball hits something, the ground or in the stands. Mm-hmm. And Stanton's pitcher was throwing the ball while his ball was still in the air,
man.
Trying to get him extra swings to catch Sanchez.
Man, I tell you.
I'd rather watch Stanton than Gary Sanchez.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Didn't even know who Gary Sanchez was.
No, he sounds made up.
And a dude hit 16 home runs, you know, in home run derby.
And a home run derby.
He'll probably, you know, I mean, Mickey Mantle.
All right.
Gary
so,
Sanchez.
Obviously, Lance is not a fan of the home run
of home
derby.
Run derby.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a fan when you come out and say, oh, Aaron Judge, he's the player now because he won his home run derby.
I think he was already the player. I think this gives him more national recognition, which is
3 months. He's less than a year away from being a 179 hitter.
Yeah.
He hasn't proven anything yet.
But, I mean,
he's had a good 2-3 months.
I understand. What you see from a player in New York, in that market, which baseball is a very heavily marketed to their, you know, specific states, specific counties,
New York,
like
Boston,
that.
LA, yes. Chicago. They want him to look good.
And that's what you want. I mean, that you want an Aaron Judge like this who goes on streaks, who, you know, I'm not saying he's a $400 million player or anything, but I think it's good for baseball that he won himself a home run derby. It's better than if Gary frickin' Sanchez would have won the home run derby.
So you think
derby.
They set
I'll
it up to make sure that he or Stanton won it?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
you think it was a level playing field?
You got stuff on.
Come on,
stuff
you're the conspiracy theory man.
You know what? I do not have enough evidence to say to accuse anyone.
Right.
But you were apparently you were watching close, man.
You were
waiting to hear for the.
I was
for the
getting
ball
ready
to
for the show because I knew you were going
to
be all over home run derby. We're not going to talk about the game. It's all about home run derby.
The game doesn't matter anymore, and the game was boring. So
because
everybody's swinging for the fences.
That's it.
There it is.
Strikeout or home run.
Yep. The All-Star game's always been a huge pitching battle because the greatest pitchers in the game only pitch one inning, and then you've got, you know, every single one of them on both teams. So that's why I think they're not very fun. You can't swing for the fences on guys who haven't, you know, pitched for 3 or 4 innings. That's the only way that strategy works is if guys are, you know, laying you a pitch or two every at bat, but I mean you're not going to get that when they only have to pitch one inning. And literally for those pitchers, it's just how quickly can I get out of this inning so I don't get hurt. So
isn't
I don't
it great
hurt
that
my
Fox
money.
Hires a 2-time convicted felon to try to sell the game of baseball?
Who was that?
Huh? Mr. Rodriguez.
He's a felon.
Alex.
Yeah.
Drug. Ill, I mean. Should be
fair.
Illegal steroids.
Yeah,
and
I mean, you're right.
Carrying them across, you know, interstate commerce laws and everything else.
Okay.
Twice. Not only did it do it twice, denied twice, caught twice.
Oh well, I mean, it's
and now let's make him the face of our network.
Well, it's the same thing with Pete. Same thing with Pete. I mean, and
yeah, but nobody will let Pete work. You know,
I mean,
Pete
he was working with what was it? Not Fox. Who was he working with?
One game. But Alex Rodriguez does the game of the week. And, I mean, really? We're going to sit and listen to him? Sorry.
Fair.
I mean, everything
no,
he did.
No, go ahead. Get on your
everything
on
he
horse.
Did, all the money he made, was based off of steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who you're going to have as the face of baseball.
I thought we wanted to get rid of that.
One of its biggest Huh?
I thought we wanted to get rid of that as baseball. I thought we wanted to push that under the rug.
I thought so too. So why are we letting Alex Rodriguez run out there? And I know he's a Miami boy and he played at the U and everything else. But I just found that very, I won't go so far as to say hypocritical, just very interesting that Fox and baseball would have Alex Rodriguez running out there. And oh, the big promo at the beginning, him throwing out the first pitch, opening up a new ballpark for young boys and girls in the Miami area, and he's going to become the face of baseball. I mean, twice convicted lying cheater.
Was he one of the ones that was in the ownership group that's trying to buy?
No, that was Derek Jeter.
That was Jeter.
I think. I mean, I know Jeter was
part of one of them, and then somebody else.
I don't
else.
Think Rodriguez ever was.
Well, but Miami's a dumpster fire.
I just throw that out there. Yeah, I saw a fan that said, Stanton goes, I go. So I kind of like that side.
There you go. All right. So, final thoughts.
I'm an Alex Rodriguez hater.
You are an Alex Rodriguez hater. So we learned that. Lance does not like Alex Rodriguez. Everybody who took steroids should be out of the hall.
Yeah.
Let's get that out of the way. Okay, great.
Yeah. I'm a Cardinals fan. Don't start saying, oh, yeah, but you love Mark McGuire. Nope, don't like Mark McGuire.
Yep. So I should also be out. Does it have to be?
But Mark McGuire's not in the hall.
Right. So does it have to be convicted, or does it have to be, I mean, we know you took steroids. Like, does it have to be stone cold evidence, like Roger Clemens took him to court, something had to have happened, drug tests, things like that, or does it have to be like some people who were like, yeah, you never got caught, but everybody's pretty aware
you
took steroids. See,
now you're going to say that I'm a flip-flopper.
Okay.
But it was an era when the majority of players were probably doing steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers as well as hitters.
Yep.
So if you were still the best of your era, I think you should get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
Because the playing field wasn't not level.
And
there were enough players, I think, using that it was a level playing field.
And that's the thing I think that comes with that conversation is what's your percentage of players? Because if it's... Let's throw it out there. I'd say probably your cutoff is 50%. If half the league's juicing and you're still dominant in that era for however long that 50% or higher margin happened, I think you should still be in the Hall of Fame. Because, I mean, everybody's using the same things or similar things to get around these tests.
And let's talk,
or they're not testing.
And let's talk about this, too. We should get rid of the numbers. Like, 500 home runs puts you in the Hall of Fame. Well, when you're talking Ernie Banks, you know, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, in that era, to get 500 home runs was a big deal because nobody was hitting that many because the game was played in big ballparks, you know, all of this stuff. So that was a big deal.
People weren't throwing as fast.
Right. So now, you know, is 500 home runs today what 500 home runs was 50 years ago?
Well, no.
So to me, I mean, would you agree that getting to 500 home runs is easier now than it would have been 50 years ago.
Oh, of course.
So I think we need to get rid of the numbers that says somebody is Hall of Fame eligible and say, were they a dominant player in their era for an extended period of time?
Yeah, and I think that's...
You know, more than 10 years. You know, 10 to 15 years, 12 to 15 years, whatever. I mean, somebody who's a great player for 6 years, is that Hall of Fame material?
Well, that's what you're going to see with NFL quarterbacks here coming up, is because the league has gotten so pass happy.
But with the numbers.
Right, with the numbers. Thing,
yeah.
You're going to see, are we going to have the conversation, say Derek Carr has another great 5 years, but then starts to peter off. But if you look at all the great quarterbacks from years past, I mean, well, he's got better stats than, you know, I won't even throw out a quarterback to offend anyone, but then so-and-so quarterback.
But wouldn't 50,000 yards be like, you know, Brett Favre, Johnny Unitas. I mean, that 50,000 yards passing is a huge number.
Right.
But now you've got guys easily throwing 5,000 to 6,000 yards. You got 10 guys pushing 5,000 yards a season, right?
Right.
So now for 10 years, that's 50,000 yards passing.
Mm-hmm.
So is that number valid anymore?
Right.
Since it's a pass-happy league and defenders aren't allowed to touch anybody and you can't hit the quarterback and we're basically playing touch football.
You know, there it is. There's more get off my lawn. Did you hear it, folks?
More? Yeah, I'm pulling it today.
Well, it's, I mean, it's like,
I've been mowing today too. Well, yeah. Throwing dirty stares at people.
Oh, yeah.
And get off my lawn.
Okay.
I'm mowing.
There you go. I'm mowing. I'll run right over your foot.
That's right.
So, and then, well, then you get to the conversation of what does dominant mean? As, you know, Drew Brees puts up oodles of stats, but hasn't won jack since he won a Super Bowl.
Well, they're not even 500.
Katrina.
Huh? So is that dominant? Because they haven't even gotten to 500.
Right.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that's dominant.
They're getting crushed in what was, until the last couple of years, one of the worst divisions in
right. Just football. Because I can put up good numbers
right.
doesn't make me dominant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you afraid to play Drew Brees? No. Because most likely you're going to win. Because his team is less than
500. As a defense, you are. As a defense, you have to stop him once. Because his defense has been so awful. But that's the thing, though. It's hard to judge with a sport like that as well, which is so codependent on everyone else on the field to make you look good. And I think some of that stuff, you know, you can control, especially at the quarterback position. But, I mean, home runs is something that is sort of a bad comparison to that, because that's something that you do pretty much by yourself, is I'm going to hit this home run. Now, granted, a pitcher can intentionally walk you all the time, and then you won't have any chance to hit.
See, that makes you, dominant.
That, yes. If they don't want to
pitch
to you.
Barry Bonds got walked, four or five times one season with the bases loaded. They intentionally walked him multiple times. I mean, it was more than once.
Yeah.
But I think it was five times. With the bases
just
loaded.
Just because it's not
we're going to give up a run just so you can't hit. That's dominance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Steroids or not, that's dominance.
So maybe we need to have the conversation that Hall of Fames are too lax these days.
I think that would be a good one.
Yeah.
Throw that out there. I mean, a new criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the numbers based in today's games aren't right.
Well, and I think you're going to see this every, you know, decade to a couple decades. Because
the game changes.
Because the game changes, workouts become so much more advanced. I mean, just the sports science of it all has gotten to a place where, you know, as a 12 or 13-year-old kid, you can decide, hey, I'm going to, and obviously you need a little bit of God-given talent, but as long as you're able to mold that a little bit, I mean, you can shoot for the stars if you really stick to a regimen.
And then you get rules changes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, and everything else.
Mm-hmm. And then that's why it's so hard to judge, you know, LeBron James to MJ or right. LeBron James to Magic Johnson or any of these guys.
It's two different eras. You can't do it. They're all great players.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say, well, they would have played well or not played well in that era.
Right.
You don't know.
Because you wouldn't have known.
You don't have that chance.
Yeah. You can't say the Warriors wouldn't have been able to play anybody just because they shoot threes and they're not the most physical team in the world. Just like you can't say, well, if the Bulls tried to play them today, they'd get smoked off the court because they didn't have the personnel. And I think, you know, advantages would be given, but you can't say that definitively.
Right.
Just because there's so much unknown there.
But are the Warriors as good as the Celtics of the 50s?
Right.
Take the 3-point line out and now play. Play
now
under the rules in the
50s
and let's see, you know, are they better than Bill Russell and Havlicek, and I mean, that's 60s, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Bob Cousy and those guys.
Right, especially without a three-point line where you can just back up and it's more advantageous for you.
Right.
Well, we got one more topic to get to.
Let's go.
So we move on.
I'll try to stay on my lawn.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're going to be able to with this topic because I was actually going to ask you, has this gone too far? The morality of blood sport is at stake here. Lance Jackson.
Okay.
So we saw press conferences from Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather today. Floyd Money Mayweather. Excuse me. Have to put the whole title in there. Sir Esquire Floyd Money.
I'm impressed. I mean, Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is just what he does with his money is just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Has to fly a car to each city that he goes to. Cargo Bob that thing in.
Has guy carry around a couple briefcases full of cash.
Yep, so he can just
he's
be
my
like,
kind of man.
You know,
he deals in cash.
I'd like that. Yeah. I'd like what you have there. Here's a briefcase. But you saw a lot of, let's say, raunchy things come out of these press conferences. Yeah. You saw Conor McGregor have a suit on. Did you happen to see this? The pinstripes say F you, I'll censor that for our lovely people here, so the ethics committee doesn't come after me. And lots of expletives being thrown. Conor McGregor going after Floyd Sr. about you shouldn't have let him come out of retirement. He could have went 49-0 and went off to the sunset. Yeah. I'll make Floyd unconscious within four rounds was also said today. And Floyd obviously throwing a lot of these things back at him. A lot of people are saying that this is not, you know, it's gone too far. We're moving away from a sport between two very athletic men to a rap battle of sorts, where it's just let's throw enough insults at each other that people will buy the fight. So what do you think about this age of boxing? And I mean, we've seen this. I mean, God, it was Muhammad Ali, and I believe it was Joe Frazier. It was the Rumble in the Jungle where I believe Muhammad Ali called Joe a gorilla. So we've seen this in boxing before, but it seemed to go a little over the top for a couple people. So what did you think about that today, or the news of
it's
that?
It's sad when if you have a 10 to 12 year old child that likes sports or you want to share sports with them. That you can't sit them down to watch these kinds of things. That's just, I think it's sad because it's not needed. You know, none of that is going to make anybody who wasn't going to buy that fight, buy the fight. If you're going to buy the McGregor Mayweather fight, you're going to buy it whether they curse at each other or where, you know, vulgar clothes, you're going to buy the fight or not buy the fight. They didn't sell the fight by acting that way. If anything, here's old guy, stay off my lawn. It makes you not want to support it because that's just wrong. That's just, you don't need that. You know, you can do a lot of other hype and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's like, I want to like, and I'm not trying to get back to baseball, but I want to try to like Bryce Harper. But yesterday, Bryce Harper, when he got introduced, stopped and pointed to his shoes and then ran out, you know,
to try to sell his shoe.
It's like, dude, this isn't about you, you know, it's about the game. Mm-hmm. This isn't about McGregor and Mayweather. It's about UFC and boxing. And for the young folks, they're UFC fans for the most part. For us older guys, we're boxing fans. You know, I mean, I didn't grow up with UFC, so I like boxing. Mm-hmm. I can watch UFC, but I don't stop my life to watch the big UFC bouts that this month or next month or whenever UFC 125 is or 175. But we used to stop and watch. We would plan our day around or our night around watching a world title fight, be it middleweights, heavyweights, light heavyweights, you know, with boxing. So this is big, these guys fighting, but they don't have to do that. That's just, that doesn't sell tickets. It just makes people, I mean, now give me the young man's perspective, but for me, if my kids were into that sport and I watched that, I'm saying, you're not watching, because I don't want my 10 to 12 year old seeing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you, do you think boxing in its own right is okay for a 10 to 12 year old kid, or are you worried about this affecting other sports? Because that's one question of your statement here that I want.
You mean the
I
vulgarity
respond.
And stuff?
Yeah, blood sport in general, I think.
Or just blood sport?
Yeah, I would say boxing as a whole.
I don't have a problem with boxing or UFC.
Okay,
as a sport, I mean. I mean, I watched it, and it made me not want to participate. I don't want to get the crap beat out of me like that.
Yeah, it allows you to know what strong people do to not as strong people in fights.
I mean, but I think there's strategy involved. There's training. Mm-hmm. They're athletic, you know.
So the age limit on the sport itself is not something. I mean, I'm not going to rail you for it. I don't think there should be an age limit either. Oh, I just wanted to make sure.
I'm just saying, as a fan, I don't want my 10 or 12 year old son or daughter to listen to those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't mind them watching it.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't mind them watching the fight.
Right.
Okay. Watching the event, that's fine. That part doesn't bother me. I don't like watching all this stuff where they're using bad language and all that kind of stuff.
Right. To give you a
I grew up watching boxing at 10. I mean, it's just Friday night fights.
Okay.
Friday night fights at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And every Friday night, my dad and I'd sit down and watch the fights.
Sit down and watch the fights.
I can name all the best fighters in every weight class.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I kind of liked the little guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was cool to watch them, you know, in and out, jab, 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 move, and, you know, stick and move. That was good stuff. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It didn't make me go out and become violent. And say, I'm going to go hit my friends and see what... No, we didn't do that.
See what that does.
Yeah. It didn't make me do that. I think that's a psychological cop-out.
Yep.
I watch video games, so I'm going to go kill people. I don't think that's...
Absolutely.
I don't think that's real.
Absolutely. I think it has much more to do with...
I don't think watching blood sports makes you go out and become a violent person.
Okay. I would agree as well. I will disagree with your point that it does not sell more subscriptions to the fight.
Okay.
Because... as, you know, as base and as raunchy as it was, I was excited to see Conor McGregor very hyped for this fight. Because that is what I was afraid of. There's been so many rumors and so much speculation that this is Conor's last fight. He's not really in it to try and win. He's in it to, you know, make as much money and then get out. And to see Conor almost as riled up as he's ever been to fight an opponent and, you know, saying all these things and wearing the jackets that he is... I love it. I think it's great, and I think it will sell more of the fight to people because I really think it will have an effect on other sports once you see, well, look how raunchy these people. I mean, we can't even dance in the NFL. You know, people are trying to rush the mound for bat flipping. You can go any sport in the world, and once you see the money that this fight will eventually make, now we can have the conversation whether or not the vulgarity caused that, because I think
it's going to make money. It was going to make the money
either
without
way.
The vulgarity.
But the reason that this sells more, who's talking about it? Granted, us, we are talking about it, but I mean, ESPN interrupted their week of, you know, for the V Foundation, which is
right.
Which is great, by the way, to talk about this. This is one of the only stories that they really ran with, that this and the Andy Murray upset.
Well, you better talk about it because it's not going to last long.
Which one?
The fight.
The fight? Oh, yeah. And for what it's worth, I think it sells tickets, and I am okay.
You better get
with 20 sports.
Or 30 friends so you're not out a lot of money.
Get, no.
Don't watch it by yourself or with your best bud.
That's what.
Because you're going to be disappointed.
That's what you're did for the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, okay. too. It's got a bunch of friends together and watched them hug each other for, you know, 10 to 12, however many rounds that was, because I stopped counting after.
I don't think this will be hugging.
No.
But I don't think Conor has a chance.
Oh, no. He's going to come out swinging. My prediction for the fight, and has stayed strong.
If
for
he
a while,
comes out swinging,
it's
Mayweather will pick him apart.
Yeah, he will.
He better fight a defensive fight.
Nope.
If he comes out swinging, he'll be picking up teeth and ears and everything else.
Go back to that.
But
that's
his only chance.
Yeah, is to knock
is
to
a
knock
Sunday
Floyd
punch.
Out.
Is just
yeah.
to take a wild haymaker.
And hit him and with connect. One. And either disorient him to the point where he can, you know, really make some
then get
hay,
inside
headway.
And hurry, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think Conor McGregor knows that, which is why he said he's going to be unconscious by the fourth round. You don't make threats like that, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to play a defensive defensive fight. I don't think so, unless he's playing head games, which is a thing he could be doing. And he's been training for boxing longer than we know, and he's going to, you know, go. I don't think he'll go for a decision though. I think Conor's looking for a TKO or a nice haymaker to the chin to knock him out. But I don't think Floyd will try that.
But Mayweather's Mayweather at this point in his career is not a knockout fighter.
No, no, no. Not even a little bit.
No. He's gonna be very technical. He's gonna be technically sound. McGregor's not gonna land a haymaker. Mm-hmm. And every time he opens himself up, Floyd's gonna hit him five times in the face before McGregor knows what happens and then cover back up.
So is this fight over within five rounds to you? Or do you think Mayweather just toys with him?
I'm not sure it can be over because I don't know if Floyd can knock him out because McGregor's psycho. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what his if he has a pain level or not.
Right.
He can absorb a lot of pain. What'll be interesting, and we don't know, how much of a bleeder is he?
Yeah.
Because in what he does, as much as there's a lot of that that's not – with boxing where you're going to get a cut above the eye or all that kind of stuff, you know? So it might get stopped because of bleeding. I don't think Mayweather will knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure Floyd can knock him out, but I don't think he can touch Mayweather. I don't think he'll be successful.
See, you think this is a technical fight from Floyd that goes full rounds and he wins unanimous decision. That's where you're at?
Or it's a late, are they going 12?
I believe so. Let me check.
I could see a TKO in like after the eighth round if they're going 12. You know, I'm not sure McGregor can train enough to know what it's going to take to
right and
to stand up for 12 rounds of boxing.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's used to the. I mean, I know he's not used to the round structure in boxing. I mean, he's right. used to really being able to set up and then go, which is why I think Conor McGregor will become, you know, even more hyped up in the ring and will go, okay, I'm at the third round. Most of the time, this is halfway through the fight for me. Yeah. I better start rocking and rolling here. So, I am not seeing how many rounds the fight will be. So.
See, I'm old school. All championship bouts were 15, and you don't see that much anymore. Everything's cut back to 12, so I would think it's probably 12.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going for, a championship.
I think McGregor's good, though. I mean, the longer he waits to get in the ring, the older Mayweather gets. So, you know, that's advantage to McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
To McGregor.
For sure. I mean, as a 40-year-old dude, it's, you know, you're not getting any younger.
But I think Floyd's just technically sound, that McGregor's not going to be able to get through the defenses.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's
to cause harm.
Everyone's expectation here. So is if it was a UFC fight, Conor McGregor would
see. And I think it would be cool. What would get me to pay for? I'm not going to pay for it. I'm not going to watch it.
the cursing and the vulgarity didn't get you, huh?
No, it didn't. But I would watch it if it were, because I don't think it's going to be much of an entertainment value. I think it's just going to be Mayweather dancing and jabbing, and you know, it's like, okay, that's what should happen. But if they let McGregor or Mayweather use UFC, if they went with UFC and boxing, and then they fought,
mm-hmm.
put a boxer against, you know, a UFC guy,
right,
and say they can use whatever they want to do,
yeah,
I think that would be cool.
I think it would be cool, and I think Conor wins very convincingly.
You think so?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I would say so. I mean, you can't just sit there and juke and jive like you can in boxing. I mean, Conor will submit you round one if you don't move your feet.
Huh.
Because
I would think you put Mayweather, you might get Mayweather on the ground, but then he's going to be able to, if he gets up to his knees at all, he's just going to pound your face in.
Yeah. I mean, I think Mayweather would have a better chance in UFC than McGregor does in boxing.
Okay.
Just because I'd say Mayweather is the more accomplished fighter and has done this more, but then you got to take the age into account.
Right.
That's tough, man. I think Conor McGregor would school him in a UFC fight. Okay. In a no holds barred, you can do whatever you want, jiu-jitsu, anything, you know.
Right.
Fight. And that's just because that's what Conor has trained to do. And I think, you know, 49 fights, fight in a certain way, more than that, for Mayweather puts you in a certain mindset. I mean, that all the training your life has ever done is, we're going to stand here and we're going to box. And this guy's grabbing my leg, I'm not used to this, is going to put you into culture shock.
Gotcha.
So I think either fighter
makes
is
sense.
At a huge disadvantage if the other fighting style was picked. But, I mean, Mayweather wasn't going to risk a 49-0. Fighting record going to fight UFC. He held all the chips there when it came to what they were going to fight. So you're not buying the fight.
No.
Not going to a B-dubs or something and watching the fight.
Probably not.
All right. So this is not a must see for you.
Nope.
All right. There you go. It's becoming more that way. See, but
if somebody invites me and says, hey, for $5, you chip in $5. You can come watch.
Mm-hmm.
I might be in.
Yeah.
If I don't have anything else planned that night.
There you go. Hey, you can watch the big three championship games before that point.
I've been watching a little bit of that.
Have you?
It's not bad.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's been okay.
See, I'm telling you, they got Paul Pierce talked in for next season is what I'm hearing. So, yeah, he was courtside, and somebody from Fox was talking to him. He's like, yeah, this looks fun. I've wanted to play. I definitely want to take this year off, but I'm missing basketball already. So once they get those old guys who, you know, are either getting siphoned out of the league because the best guys are making all the money because this new CBA and stuff like that, I mean, they'll siphon more and more
players.
Or
the young guys
who
don't make it.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching and somebody I hadn't heard of, but he had played like 50 games in the NBA.
Yeah.
Still quality basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'd rather.
I mean, he's no Otto Porter.
No.
And this guy was no Otto Porter.
Making $100 million
over
the next
still,
4 years.
You know, he was a decent ball player.
I mean, God, I can see, and I know this is a homer pick for me, but, you know, Aaron Kraft, who, you know, couldn't make the league, but would have been a really interesting player in a 3-on-3 setting. I mean, that.
Can't shoot, though, man.
That's a fun time. Well, you know.
You got to be able to shoot.
Well,
when you play 3-on-3, you don't have a defensive specialist in 3-on-3.
Sure you do. You put him in at the end of a game. That'd be fun. That'd be a good time. They get, what, 7 dudes on the bench?
It's all about shooting.
You tell me Aaron Kraft isn't going to be your 7th guy.
You ever play
3-on-3
basketball? It's all about shooting,
man. Of course I have. Well,
you know. It's all about getting a mismatch, set a screen, screen and roll, get a mismatch,
all right,
and score.
You know what, man?
There's no defense in 3-on-3.
There is defense on 3-on-3. Come on now. If you're
only when it's game point. Only if it's game point is
there
defense.
And that's what you put him in for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Win by two, they got to make a three, put Aaron Kraft on him.
I got you. But he only guards one guy.
So? Who cares?
Then you pick.
You got
it. You set a screen roll, and then Aaron Kraft gets dunked on.
Well, yeah, but then you got Paul Pierce right beside him, and he's guarding the lane there. So as long as your guy you're picking and rolling for isn't also, you know,
I mean, I love Aaron Kraft, but I mean, he can't shoot.
Well, he got better at shooting. Yeah. Was playing for Golden State, man. Their little their development league team.
He was good in the D League.
Yeah,
but that was his max.
Yeah. Well, how are we to know what the talent lineup there? What's the scale you got for me? Where does 3-on-3 league fit in with the Chinese league and the developmental league and the NBA and playing in Spain? See, that's what I want to know. Where's the talent
games.
Level?
3-on-3 is a different
game. Well, I know it's a different
game. 5-on-5.
I know it's a different
game. And you have to be able to shoot, and Aaron Kraft can't shoot well enough to play 3-on-3.
You're right.
I think level of basketball, D-League's higher than the 3-on-3.
Oh, well, I would agree with that as well.
But Aaron Kraft doesn't bring enough offense to the table to be a 3-on-3 player.
Fair. You know what? Fair enough. Fine. I'll give it to you. I just think that your
you just want to watch Aaron Kraft.
I do. And your stratagem does not include half-ending or game-winning points. Because I think Aaron Kraft shuts people down. Just saying. And he got better at shooting in the D-League. So there you go. That's my final stance on that there. But, everybody, thank you for tuning in to today's show. We got through everything, right? I tell you, we had a lot to talk about, but I think we got through it all.
So, and I was stay off my lawn almost every one of them.
Almost every
Sorry
one of
about
them.
That. Didn't feel that way.
Yeah, tennis. Yeah, I mean, tennis lasted about 6 to 7 minutes, and you weren't really get off my lawn there. You were excited for the change.
I was
change
excited.
There.
We talked about some tennis.
Yeah.
Played tennis my whole life, so I'm good at that.
Excited for the American to start his
it's
climb,
nice.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So everything else, though, no change. Get off my lawn, I tell you.
I mean, Aaron Judge, I think it's great for Aaron Judge. He's home run derby winner. What? Yeah.
You were really.
He hasn't batted 200 yet in a complete major league season, you know? And so we're going to make a freak show, a sideshow, the highlight of his career?
Yep.
Okay.
Rock and roll. So far, hey, man, he's young. He's got room to improve. He's the savior of New York.
So is that like.
The Mets are going downhill, so it's Aaron Judge. It's Aaron Judge's town.
So then this is like the slam dunk contest. You're a rookie. Nobody knows you. You got to be in a slam dunk contest. Then once you start making real money, you don't do it anymore.
Give me the Minnesota Timberwolves guy. I can give it to you. Zach LaVine, baby.
Okay.
Won himself a slam dunk contest. Now everybody knows him. Helps you out, man. I'm telling you. Don't shoot the messenger.
Okay.
It's just the way the world works these days.
Well, I mean, people know Aaron Judge because he plays in New York for the Yankees.
Well, thanks for proving my point. Thanks for that.
He didn't need to win the home run derby.
Well, but it helps
people
him
knew
out.
Who he was.
It helps him out nationally to win the home run derby. I think it helps baseball out nationally.
You think
to win
so?
The home run derby. Yeah, helps it out a lot more than Gary Sanchez, dude they grabbed off the street.
Right, because how many people turned him down?
Turned who down?
The home run derby.
What are you talking about? Like how many people didn't view the home run derby?
No, how many players said, no, I don't want to do the home run derby. Oh. So they had to go get Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true.
You don't think, you know, Bryce Harper, Robinson Cano, a former winner of the Home Run Derby, George Springer.
Well, I mean, I understand. Well, that's
Paul
a completely different conversation,
So, so Aaron Judge beat a lot of guys.
Giancarlo Stanton, who was cheating. He beat a cheater, according to you.
Yeah. Conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theory, Lance. He beat the guy who was getting getting extra pumps there. So
no, Judge didn't. Gary Stanton did.
Yeah, I know. Judge.
Or
Judge,
Gary, whatever his name was.
Yeah, Judge beat.
Sanchez. Gary Sanchez. Know,
Judge was a winner while other people were cheating.
Okay. Of all the lowlifes who didn't.
Hey, man.
Who tried to make a name for themselves by being in the Home Run Derby.
I'm telling you,
all the best
players,
all the best players.
See, some would tell you that Aaron Judge, one of the best players of the year this year, one of the most exciting players in baseball. Aaron Judge, let's go.
If Aaron Judge played for the Minnesota Twins,
nobody would talk about it,
and they still wouldn't care that he won the Home Run Derby.
You're right.
It's because he's a Yankee.
He's a good looking dude, though. Maybe they'd care. He's a nice looking dude. I'm telling you, that Aaron.
They just
Judge.
Like it because they can wear a robe and a wig. People, Yankee fans like to dress up to the game. It's the only reason to go.
Yep.
I mean, they're still not in first place.
No, you're right. Well, you know what? I tell you what. You have just been grumpy the last 40 minutes of the show, so we're getting out of here. Thank you very much for tuning in to the True Sports Show. We hope to see you again. My name's Cam Pierce.
I'm Lance Jackson.
And be the change.